We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for that wonderful name. Hallelujah. We thank you for the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. That feeds our spirits. Hallelujah. It changes our minds, renews our minds. We thank you for direction this morning, Lord. We ask for your great wisdom. We ask, wonderful Holy Spirit, that you teach through us as well, whoever gets up and says anything more. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the great people that are here, the lives that are so significant and so wonderful to you, and they're precious to you, Lord. You have a plan for each one of their lives. We thank you, Lord God, that all opposition in their lives that would prevent them from fulfilling the call of God upon their lives would be dismissed, would be dismantled and destroyed, Father God. You said in your word, Jesus, that the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal and destroy. He would love to do that, but you've come, thank God, to give us life and give it abundantly. So we praise you for the wonderful plan that you have in our lives. And we yield our spirits to you, our whole spirits, our soul and body. We yield to you, Lord God. We thank you that the Word of God is given to us, that we might govern our lives, that we might begin to know what your will is and begin to walk in it. We thank you for that. We thank you there's a great future for every one of our lives, every one of our children, every one of our businesses, every one of our ministry areas. We thank you, Lord God. We're looking forward to it. We're anticipating for greater things to come. We ask, Father, in this time, in this very moment, we ask that you stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your spirit reign in this place. Let the spirit of seeing and knowing be amplified in this hour, in this day, Father God, for every one of us. We give you all the glory in advance in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. Go ahead, be seated. Glad you're with us this morning. Thank you for all those people that are watching online. I don't know who's online, but I'm believing there's somebody online. Praise God. All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to talk about the weapon of intercession this morning. We're going to carry on with some of the spiritual aspects of our Christian life. And of course, this topic is on prayer and the walk of the Spirit. Our main idea is that today that we have weapons of a warfare, and if we don't employ them, they'll go to waste, so to speak, and we won't get the job done like we should be. And so there's a lot of things that need to be done, and we can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own self, so God has given us weapons. So we want to look at Ephesians 6:18, and we'll look at another scripture here. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, we'll read four verses there. They're very, very short. It'll be appropriate for both of those scriptures together. Let's go to our Bibles in Ephesians 6:18. I'm reading the King James Version. I'll revert to different other versions, mainly the New Living Translation, to actually get a very clear view of something, maybe a point that I want to make in the scripture. And also I'll use the Amplified Bible that gives us amplification. This brings it out more emphasis on something. So is everybody doing okay this morning? Praise God. You're all looking good. I see my good friend, cousin Maxine out there. She's ready to go. That paper's all smoking up already. Amen. And praise God. Amen. All right. Who's here? Everybody's here. Let's go to Ephesians 6:18, King James, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's King James Version. Let's read that one more time. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's a real mouthload. We'll talk about that in a moment. You know, the Bible teaches us there's different kinds of praying or different kinds of prayers in the Bible. One kind of prayer is intercession. And that prayer is a spiritual type of praying. And let me explain in a moment. And The Bible says we should pray with our minds, our mentality, and also with our inward man, our recreated human spirit that's born again. And that's the kind of praying that was not given to the Old Testament saints. But in the New Testament, we're given the Holy Spirit to indwell every one of us. In the Old Testament, they only had the prophet, king, and priest who had the Spirit on them to do ministry. But under the New Covenant, we all have the Spirit. We have the Spirit of Jesus. We have the Spirit of prophecy in us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself by the Holy Spirit in us. And the Bible says that he is our intercessor. Jesus goes to intercede for everything that we need in life. And also the Holy Spirit also is our intercessor. We'll look at that. So spiritual praying is a great significant help in every believer's life when they employ it to break down demonic forces and to pray in line with the will of God. Now, I know a lot of people sometimes get on a tangent. They'll go one way and overemphasize something and go all spiritual, and people get afraid of them because they get off on some things, you know. Maybe some of you were like that. And I'm glad you're back on track. I don't think you ever got spiritual, crazy, Grace. You were always online, this keel. I remember one time Grace was praying, though. Over in the old church, when we first started the faith church in the city, she began praying. She was dedicated to pray right from the very first start. God used her to pray many, many years ago, and we appreciate her, and she's still doing it. She's still praying, and she chose to pray. She said, Pastor, I'm going to pray for you. And I thank God for your partnership in prayer, and God brought you to us to help us. And I think if it wasn't for her, you know, those kinds of people that are in the background, these are the people that's going to get the greatest blessings that maybe we'll ever see in the when Jesus hands out the rewards on the great, not the great white throne, but judgment seat of Jesus. It's actually called the rewards of Jesus. So we're not going to be... You know, I used to think, the judgment seat of Christ, they're going to know everything about me. But no, God's going to give you, rewards. But I remember, we go back to that story again. It talks about here in Ephesians about praying with all kinds of prayer. And one of those prayers is intercession, which is interceding and praying in the Spirit. Notice that scripture. It says in here, supplicating for all saints, or praying with all prayer, supplicating in the Spirit. So there's a supplication in the Spirit. You know, you can pray with the Spirit with your own language. It's amazing when the Holy Spirit grabs you and you're so yielded to the Spirit that he prays prophetically with your own language. And you're amazed when that happens. And I'm amazed when he does that to me when I pray. And sometimes I'll get caught up for myself. I know when I start to pray, I get caught up and I can't stop because it's so good. It feels good. And very often you pray prophetically that way. But there's another kind of praying, and that's what we want to talk about, praying in the Spirit. And so one morning, Grace used to get up really early in the morning, and she went to prayer, I think 6 o'clock in the morning. And so we had a church. We had church services in a place, a facility that housed many other people. I think people even lived in that building, on different areas of that building. And so, Grace proceeded to pray, and she would get into the Spirit. I don't know if some of you would understand what that means, but she would get into the Spirit so much that she began to pray. Just like Romans 8:26 says, that we're going to read that in a moment. And she would pray with groanings. Now, you can't make yourself do that. I know some Christians try to make themselves groan. But it's the word groanings actually is a term in the Greek that means inarticulate speech. That means it's not articulate. It's not clear when you're praying that way in the Spirit. It's words that you cannot understand. It's mysteries, according to 1 Corinthians 14:2. And so she's praying that way, being led by the Spirit. And she's praying pretty with lots of gusto. And someone called the police on her. Now, Grace, we're going to cut this off. This is not going to go on. Well, you know, just to show you something here, and she was caught up in the spirit. And I know something happened like that similarly with my sister one morning. And so the police came and asked if something's going on there. And well, she said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm praying." And people don't understand. And that happens to so many people over the years that I know personally. I remember one morning, it was 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night. It was Saturday night. Someone very close to me called and said, "Hey, you know, so-and-so here is praying." Or it didn't say prayer, but I found somebody groaning on the floor in the middle of the downstairs in the middle of the floor. And what's happening? I don't understand it. And I understood right away because, you know, what was going on. So I said, "Well, that's person is praying." "Well, I don't call that prayer. I don't call that prayer at all. It's something weird, you know." But, well, that happens. And you can get caught up in the spirit and pray. And that's why it's good to be in prayer. And I don't think, you know, when we show cameras and people are praying and different things like that, I don't think the world should see all that because it confuses people and it can also cause other difficulties. And that's why I very seldom want everybody to be seen. And I think maybe you might not want to be seen. If you come up here and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, start dancing, I'll show that to your boss on Monday morning and say, "What's going on?" They would understand it, running around. And I'm sure they must have seen Pastor Dave by now at where he works. And it's amazing. But anyway, that's just a little story. We'll cut that out. Forget I ever said that. For now, and we'll talk about this in a moment. If here, Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, he says, Paul said in Ephesians here, encourage us to all pray. He says, praying always. He wants us to be instant in our prayer with different kinds of praying or all manner of prayer. It means that we should learn all types of praying and its applications. To pray always means to be ready at any time, any hour, to pray whenever prompted, or when you feel in your spirit that you need to pray and cover something. You can pray that anywhere. You can go to Walmart, and you can pray under your breath if you have to. And you have control over different things. Sometimes you feel like you don't, but you do. I know what it's like to be caught up in the spirit because there's times in my life where I had that once happen to once in front of my wife, where the Spirit of God got a hold of me. I didn't want my wife to see what was happening to me. And I told the Lord that this is very private. And I began to cry and weep and pray. She's looking at me. She understood me by then, I guess. But for me, as a man, I like my privacy. You know, I like to go to the bathroom by myself. I like to go and do things by myself this time. So anyway, so we have to be able to be ready all time. When he says all prayer, it means that we should pray for using all kinds of prayers, all kinds of praying. And the Bible teaches us various kinds of praying or prayers in the Bible to get the job done that we want. And sometimes people misunderstand the different kinds of prayers. They misappropriate different kinds of prayers. And they say, for instance, you know, they use the prayer of consecration, dedication, submission to God, they use that prayer, which ends with this word or this phrase, "Thy will be done." So you can't use that prayer when it comes to certain things, because if you know the will of God in a certain thing, you wouldn't add that to that verse of Scripture. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in faith anymore. If you're praying for someone who is sick and they ask you to pray for them that they might receive healing, you wouldn't say, "Lord, if it be thy will, heal that person." That would be using the principles and not mixing those prayers up together. So you would have to use, you know, "Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the healing, or we confer healing on that person. We come in agreement in the prayer of agreement with that person that healing belongs to them in Jesus' name." But sometimes you don't even have to pray. You just have to agree. Especially when it When you know God's will on some things, you don't have to. It's already in the Bible. It's already written there. You just say, Lord, I believe what you say. I'm coming along with it, and I believe it. And so a lot of times, a lot of praying is done exhausted because you don't have to pray for. There's a lot of stuff you don't have to pray for in the Bible. For instance, you don't have to ever pray for money. Never. You just ask God. You just follow the directions, what he says to do about your money. Now, you might have to repent about your money if you've been misusing your money. But you don't have to pray for money. You can, but you don't have to always pray for money. And I'll explain that another time because it's this different thing here. But, you can claim money, if that's what you call prayer, and just believe God for whatever you need. So all kinds of prayers, it means you can employ different kinds of prayers. Praying, and ask yourself at this moment, what kind of prayer do you need right now in your life, in your personal situation? Which prayer must you employ, and do you know how to use it? What principles belong for that specific prayer? And are you interchanging prayers for something else? So when he talks about supplication, this kind of praying is not a kind of prayer. Well, of course, supplication is a type of prayer we pray for all saints. According to the scripture, we pray for our local fellowship, our church membership, people that are born again. Generally, we supplicate for them, and we intercede for those who are not saved or those that are out of the will of God, that have gone so far out of the will of God. Christians can get so far out of the will of God that you must bring them back with intercession because they're so into darkness, and they don't know how to find their way out. So you stand in the gap for them. Supplication is a type of prayer that we employ. This is not a casual type of praying. It's a heartfelt employment where you just dig in your heels and you pray and stick with the prayer until you see the answer to come that's going to come in. It's not something, oh, Lord, bless them, and then you walk away. Lord, bless so-and-so. Thank you, Lord, bless so-and-so. It's not that kind of prayer. It's far more deeper. When you supplicate for someone, you're in it, spirit, soul, and body. You're fighting like a dog. You're believing God for their healing and so on. Of course, he talks about watching, and so watching is also sometimes a term used in the Bible for people who are intercessors who are praying. But also, this word watching is also means that you're praying with awareness and consciousness of the Spirit and consciousness of the Scripture of what you're praying about and what you're praying for and who you're praying against, and of course the enemy. You have to be very keen on those kinds of things. And of course he uses the word perseverance, which means that you're never going to let go. When you persevere, you're not quitting. Once you start something, you're not going to quit. You're not going to stop. You're not going to quit because it's that person got worse or it seemed to be not going anywhere. No, you keep hanging on. That's when you're supposed to hang on. You keep hanging on to the Word of God. You keep hanging on to the... So perseverance comes until the person comes into manifestation with the help of the Holy Spirit. You're not doing this on your own. You're not praying on your own. So let's go over here. For all saints, of course, he says in that phrase, for all saints, means that we should pray for the needs of the church or Christians and saints. We don't know the needs of all saints. We don't know every specific need for you, but the Holy Spirit does, and that's why you need his help. That's why we have to solely depend on the Spirit, and he says, for all saints. So even if you had a particular person you know that's the closest person in your life, you don't know every need that they have. You don't know their hearts. So that's why you have to depend on the Spirit of God to help you pray for that person. We like to think that we know. We say, oh, you know, let's pray for Bronson. He needs a wife. Well, if he doesn't want a wife, and he's dedicated his whole life, he told me, to Jesus, he's never going to get married. No, I'm just kidding, Bronson. You know, Bronson, I'm so proud of this man. He's my son from now on. I'm going to steal him from the Macross. I knew him since he was a baby. And that's why I'm so proud to see him grow up, to come to Jesus. He left for a little bit, took an exodus. I don't know where he went. But he's back, he's brand new. I saw his commercial on television. He said, I'm back as Bronson. praise God. It's nice to see Christian people. But don't run away next time. I know lots of people, kids run away. And I'm amazed at, here's what I'm amazed at. Children who have no parents that don't go to church as much. Not just him, but many, many Christians. I know kids here that don't, their parents don't come. But they're more hungry than the kids who grew up in church. They push in further. They get the answers to prayer, and they push further ahead. That's what I was like. My mom and dad never took me to church one time, ever. They never gave me a Bible. They never told me about Jesus. They never prayed for me. My dad never laid hands on me to pray. My mom never prayed for me in that sense. She prayed for me with the Hail Marys and Our Fathers, but I wish she knew other things. But I got born again and got hungry for God, came to church, got born again through a Baptist ministry, and came to a Baptist ministry and went to church there and got filled with the Holy Spirit in the East End, some little tabernacle, way over there. Why did they put a Pentecostal church way over there, hidden somewhere? It should be right downtown. And so I had the most glorious experience in the smallest little, tiny little church that nobody would want to go to. And I got gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit. Changed my life totally. That church should be downtown where everybody can come to. Anyway, that's my rant. Sorry about that. It all started with Bronson. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now, I just gave you a little bit of a commentary on that chapter. It's commentary. You can read yourself the scriptures, but I want to encourage you to read a little bit more and meditate on the scriptures. So what I wanted you to get from Ephesians 6:18, what is the main point is that there's all kinds of prayers, not just one kind. And so we have to learn the mechanics of each one of them so that we can be effective in our prayer. And one of them is intercession. And so we want to show you about intercession in the Spirit. That's what I want to talk about. So this scripture here, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, is that Paul is praying again. And of course, Paul is encouraging prayer. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, and how many of us pray for ourselves first before we pray for this way? He said, first of all, supplications. There goes that word again, supplications. So that's a prayer. Prayers. There he goes again, prayers. That's different kinds of prayers. And intercessions. And giving of thanks be made for all men. How many of us give thanks for our prime minister? And thank God for his life and thank God for him stepping up. I mean, we can criticize Prime Minister all we want, but he stepped up. I mean, he had an open door to, you know, we can see all kinds of things right there. But let's pray for him instead of criticizing him. Oh, I know him, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So verse 2 says, for all men, and he gets specific here, for kings. Well, we don't have kings. We have mayors. I pray for my mayor, my wife and I, we pray for our mayor. And we pray for our premier, Doug Ford. And we pray for our prime minister. And we pray for all our First Nations leaders, Assembly of First Nations. We pray for our chief. I pray for my chief in my home. And we pray for these people. We pray for the police chief in town. And we pray for the heads of the schools in the city, teachers. And different ones that God would give them wisdom and lead them and guide them. So we pray this way. All that in authority, that's what we're praying for, those that are in authority, heads of different things, key people. Why? That we might lead a peaceful and life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved. That's the most important thing about praying is that people be saved, delivered, healed, Those are things that is so important for us to pray about. Who will have all men to be saved. So this verse here, who will have all men to be saved, verse 4. You wouldn't say, Lord, save Johnny if it's your will. If not, let him go and die and let him go to hell. No, you wouldn't say that. It's the same way when you pray for healing. You know God's will is that by his stripes we are healed. That's for everybody. I always thought about that. Okay, so who is that for? Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus went about all the cities, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I said, well, which one did he knew to heal? Which one did he not know? Well, the scripture tells us that it was for everybody. So this is the biggest hindrance in everyone, when it comes to healing, is that we don't all believe that it's so. We think it's for some people. So intercession of Daniel, let's go here and talk about intercession for a minute. Daniel chapter 10, verse 11 and 12 of King James. Let's have a look at Daniel regarding his heartfelt prayer. We see a man of God in intercessory prayer. You know, God answers prayers, and God sent an angel to this man to help him out, gave him an answer, sent him with an answer, because there was great opposition in against the people of God and against his actually prayer as well from demonic forces above him, above in the heavens. And that this messenger was assisted, that God also actually sent not only that angel, but he sent Gabriel to help him bring that message to Daniel. This was a nation that he was praying about. This was a backslidden nation. And this represents people in your life that are backslidden. You could actually come to church and be backslidden. And, you know, we can be religious about things. You can be cold about things. And so... But there's people, a lot of us, that we know that people can backslide. So this represents this kind of thing. This is not some old story over there that happened to them and this has no relation to us, but it has great significance to us. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Then he said to me, this angel who appeared to Daniel, 'Fear not, Daniel, from the first day,'" everybody say first day, "'from the first day that you set your heart to understand and chasten yourself before God.'" Now, he was trying to understand God, understand the plan of God, understand what was going on with his people through Scripture. He was beginning to read Scripture, and by reading the Scriptures, the light came on, and he understood the condition of his people, because they had gotten so far away from God that he began to have God began to touch him and saw that they were so far away from God. So it says, "From the first day you set your hand or you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before God, your words were heard." Now notice that he says, from the first day he prayed, God heard him right away and God answered him right away. So he says, "Thy words were heard and I'm come for thy words." So you say something when you pray, there's words when you pray. So God will come for your words. When you pray, God will come for your word. What are you saying? And so he says in here, I'm coming for your word. God said, that angel said, I'm coming for your words. And I, you know, people have talked about different things, and I've heard people that I've talked to, I don't know. If you're spiritual minded and want to talk about spiritual things, you'll find amazing things about people. Not just about having a haircut. You know, you could talk about natural things to people, but if there's sometimes you talk about people and you get into some spiritual things and you kind of shift your gear and you try to, you know, talk to people spiritually and try to share Jesus about spiritual things and bring things, what's going on today, don't scare people by prophesying great things. Just say, you know, you could share things. You know, what did Jesus say? Harmless as doves. Is that what it is? Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. So we could be that way. We should be sensitive to people. So here, he said, I'm come for your words, verse 12. Verse 13 gives us some amazing, understanding. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Evidently, there's a prince, a spiritual power that was there opposing the people of God and causing havoc and causing, you know, that man's prayers to be hindered. Or when you prayed, you know, the devil kind of tried to, get involved with that prayer. And it's one thing about praying in the Spirit, you know, the devil, he can't, he don't know what you're saying. It's only a language that God can understand. You can't decode it. It's like the code talkers in the war. They use the Navajo people to send messages. And the Germans, Japanese, is what? Was it? Koreans? They could not decode, they couldn't figure out what was going on. And so this is the same application. The devil doesn't understand when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. It's called mysteries. Only God can know that. But not everybody believes this prayer. But it's in the Bible. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me and 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, there's evidently, it talks about the kings of Persia, which was the darker forces, the evil forces that was actually controlling the situation behind there. Now, this is getting interesting because, I'm going to show you something here that will help you with your own life and how to pray and intercede and give you light on this thing. Daniel's intercession was made for backslidden people here, Israel. And you can make intercession for someone who's in backslidden. Now, you have to persevere and stand. Don't get scared. Stay strong. Stay steady and see them through. And, I remember Brother Hagin used to tell us, if you don't pray this prayer, some people will never come to God. Some people will never come to God or never get healed unless you pray this prayer. So we have to learn some things evidently that maybe we never picked up. We're just kind of so natural in our Christian life. So Daniel understood Israel was in a backslidden state and out of the will of God through reading the scriptures. He sought God's help and asked for forgiveness and repentance of the people. God answered his supplications and because he had a plan for them. He had a purpose for Israel. And he had a purpose. He has a purpose for you and me and for everyone else in your family. That's significant. You know, I found out Psalm 138, verse 8 says that God is concerned about everything you're concerned about. That he's concerned every detail in your life. And you might not know this, but if you read scripture a lot, you're going to find out that God is so interested in you, that you mean so much to him. And, you begin to see how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. Oftentimes when trouble comes, we forget that. You know, he actually cares for us. So God has a plan and a purpose for all his people. Here, Jeremiah 29 says this. This is Jeremiah 29. He said, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good. There's good ahead of you. And plans for good, not for disaster. In other words, there's nothing there in God's plan that there's no sickness in your plan. There's no disruptions, in mental distresses, and there's no bankruptcies, there's no marital disputes and divorces, there's none of that in your life, in God's will. Outside of God's will, yes, there is. That's what the devil plans, kill, steal, and destroy. And he says to give you a future and a hope. Well, you have a wonderful future. Your future looks bright. Well, he said, well, I'm in a dark place right now. Well, hang on, man. It will help you out a little bit. So that's what Jeremiah 29 says, and that's what God has planned for every one of us. The psalmist says, 139, verse 16, New Living Translation says, you saw me before I was born. God knew you before you were born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. In other words, your life was written out before you ever were born. He had a tremendous plan for you. Has a tremendous plan for your family, for your children, for everything that you think about. God has a tremendous plan for Joe. You know, we're going to pray for him. How many are going to pray for Joe? There's another Joe walking around I saw earlier. God has a plan for him too. And God has a plan for him to help me with my house. So, anyway. Joe, I'm just kidding, Joe. You can do what you want. So, anyway, Every day my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Every day, every moment was laid out. God has a plan for every part of your life. And nothing that happens in your life that he's not like, oh, you have a need. Oh, you know. He knows everything. It's hard for you and me as a finite person to think about that. God knows everything. Now, you try to find out about, you try to get to know your wife. But God knows everything about your wife. Every thought, every, the Bible says even before every word spoken, he knows what word comes out of you. You better know what word comes out of you before you say, I do. Before I'm going to give you that 10,000. The Bible said Daniel was seeking God for direction and that God immediately answered him, but it took 21 days for the answer to come through because of opposing spiritual hindrances of evil forces from Satan. The Bible said Daniel made intercession and God moved with compassion. Daniel was the key in that situation. Daniel was the key in that situation. It wasn't God per se, although, you know, he's already made a plan. He's always the source of our lives. For everything, God is. It wasn't the angel who brought him help was the key, nor was it Gabriel who helped that angel with that message. It wasn't prayer itself, but it was Daniel's intercession made on behalf that made the difference for Israel and the people of God there. There was an opposition from Satan, and Daniel's prayer of intercession was hindered for a while, and he had to stand steady with it, so that we have to stand steady. It will be your prayer of intercession on behalf of someone else that'll make all the difference in the world for their life. Every one of us, prayer is encouraged by all of us. Ephesians 6:18 is for all of us, not just for prayer warriors. We call them prayer warriors. In the 80s, we say, oh, look at that guy. Look at him. Look how he walks. He's a prayer warrior. You know, they give him a special status, but now, he prays a lot. That emphasis is gone now. Everybody's important. And I believe that's one thing I believe about Miss Grace, that there's a great reward for you in heaven. In Ezekiel 28, it's revealed about the double kingdom. It shows us about the double kingdom. It shows us about the natural kingdom and the spiritual kingdom. And so in the book of Ezekiel, we see a double kingdom, one on earth on the natural level, and one on the spiritual, one in the unseen world above the natural world. We see Ezekiel said that a man who ruled in Taurus, Taurus is controlled by the spirit above him in the spiritual realm. The prince of Taurus was an actual man or ruling man, king, prince. The king of Taurus was a spirit who had great influence and control over the natural leader of that nation called Taurus. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:13, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, we're not battling people, humans, but against principalities. Notice this. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6:12 says. So, you know, we see here that this is where people get off because they get afraid because they don't have enough information on who they are and what authority they have. They've never studied, you know, the authority of the believer sort of thing. They never were taught spiritual authority. And lots of people are afraid even to pray about certain things or even to say certain things because they think, oh, the devil's going to hear me. Well, if your spirit's filled and you know your word, then you want him to hear you. And you want him to know that you have power over him. But if you're going to hide from the devil and dodge from him and plan to do nothing, then he's going to have, you know, a heyday in your life and for your loved ones. I mean, there's times when we literally have to hang on for people's lives. Literally. Particularly people who are run off and with the devil and go to his kingdom and live there. And we still have to stay like Moses did. Abraham, he prayed for people. Abraham had to pray his nephew out of that wicked city. And God knows what he was doing. The Bible said he pitched his tent towards the city. He's looking at the city. He wants to be in that city. And there's some people who are Christians who want to be in the devil's kingdom. Because there's some fun in it. It's boring to be in church, especially if you're carnal. It's boring. It's very boring to be in church if you're Christian. I know. I've been there. It's boring to listen to different things to people because you mean I have to listen to this? Yeah, if you want to grow. You can live without God and be a Christian and go to heaven. You can. Let's put it bluntly because it's not going to be fun later on. So there are three kinds of forces that we have to deal with every day, you and I right now at this moment. First of all, it says here, in that scripture, it says we deal with number one, or principalities. Two, powers. Three, rulers of darkness of this world. So I remember listening to Brother Hagin years ago. I didn't understand it. I'm learning more and more. He said, when Jesus appeared to me one time, he said, I'm going to teach you about demons, devils, and evil spirits. And then that devil appeared in front of them, and he was screaming out, and he couldn't hear him, and so on. And he found out through experience what he had to do to make the devil stop in his life. And Jesus told him, if you didn't do anything about the devil, I couldn't. Now, Jesus is not only telling that to Brother Higgins, but telling everybody what the scripture says. If you don't do anything about the devil in your lives, God can't do anything about it. First of all, this place, this world, is the devil's kingdom. He rules in this kingdom. He's the God of this world. He's the prince of this world. The Bible says, Ephesians 2, that Satan is the prince and power of this air, of the air of this world. And he'll seduce you through different things, lust of other things, lust of riches, lust of whatever he's going to put on you, take you away. And then it's not always bad experiences take people away. I told someone yesterday, it's usually when I'm feeling so wonderful and so untouchable, that's when I get into trouble. My head gets right up there because I feel like nothing can hurt me. Then I can just go ahead and, where's that beer? Give me those cigarettes. I can smoke today. Let's go. Bring on the girls. I better not say too much here. I mean, I don't care who you are. I don't care how Christian you've been. You have been in your mind to different places you're probably embarrassed to talk about. Or maybe you've been there already. So there's a, I'm ignoring him. He doesn't count. That's the devil talking. Oh, you've been there one time. But no, you've been there quite more often than that. But so the devil, he's pretty clever. He won't even tell you that he's there. He'll tell you that you're the one that's thinking that way. When he's actually putting that in you. Then he'll go around telling you, what kind of Christian are you to think that way? He was the one that brought it. But if you entertain it, it becomes part of you, right? So three kinds of spiritual forces. And it says here, spiritual wickedness in high places. But we don't have to deal with that spirit, those spirits. Because Jesus talked about it in the Bible, is that spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't live in high places. I don't live in the heavenlies. I live here on earth. Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth. But Jesus is everywhere. He said, you take care of those three spirits, I'll take care of the one above who's controlling different situations in your life. He's controlling a lot of stuff that's stopping you from progressing. If you have a business, you need to take care of those things because he's preventing you from going ahead. He don't want you to have money because he knows it's going into ministry. And it disturb you. It wants to disturb you so much that you can't even go to work. You know, they say mental health affects a lot of people that they can't go to work, and that it's so many hours lost of work because of mental health issues. People can't, they're not happy. If you're not happy, you can't function. If you're worried about your kids all day, you're worried about this, worried about that, it's hard to function, hard to produce if you're dealing with stuff. Remember what Jesus said when he was on earth to his disciples? He says in here, Matthew 6:19, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Keys represent authority and power. He said, I'll give you, that's what we have, keys and power. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, everybody say on earth. He says, shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Matthew 6:19. Heaven is not, when he talks about heaven, there, heaven is not the heavens where God lives. But that heaven he's talking about is above the earth's atmosphere where you know, above the earth. Apparently where, you know, the scripture says where evil spirits dominate in that realm and try to enter and influence our realm. Remember, there are three heavens the Bible talks about in the New Testament. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and 2 says this, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell. In other words, when he died or when he went to heaven, he didn't know he actually was in heaven. It's like, you know, it's like a dream almost. Now, I talk to people who've died. I personally know people who died personally, and I believe them because I see it in the Bible. That when they were out of their body, they didn't feel like they were out of their body, in a sense, like they didn't know whether it's in the body or not. One of our teachers from Brahma Bible School, in fact, even my own pastor, Pastor Rick, went to heaven, and God showed him different things. I believe him. I don't think Pastor Rick's lying. God told him that I want you to lead the pastors across our nation. I want you to head that up, and I want you to do some work for me. And I know a friend of mine in Ottawa who actually physically died. He's the head of a church in Ottawa, and he died. And saw Jesus talk to him. He said, I want you to do something. I want you to help. And that's why Pastor Rick and him work. They both died and went to heaven. No, they actually died, but I guess they went to heaven. But actually, the guy from Capital City died because he was sick. And God brought him back. And one of my favorite teachers, Keith Moore, at Rema, and he said he, you know, his dad died. He took his dad up in a plane when his dad didn't want to go. He bugged his dad for years and years. Come on, Dad, let's come on, show you. I'm going to take you up to the plane. And he's a pilot. He flies everywhere. He's a minister. Finally, his dad says, okay, I'll go. He just mustered up all his energy, and he died up there. Can you imagine calling your dad, encouraging him to come with you, and then he dies in the air? And he said he grieved for a few years. Couldn't get over it. Couldn't hardly minister. He just had such a heartache, broken heart that he was the one responsible, took his dad up in the air, and his dad died of a heart attack because his dad had a heart problem. And he died. So he says, one day I'm there, and all of a sudden he said, I found that Jesus took me up. I get into heaven. I'm walking in heaven. I see somebody coming. I knew it was my dad. I recognize him. He's about 30 years old. His dad is in the 70s, I guess. He said, I knew it's my dad. I looked at him, and he just hugged me. He said, Keith, don't worry about it. I would never go back to heaven. I never go back there anyway. No. I love it here. This is great. He said, don't feel bad. When someone dies, go to heaven, they don't want to come back here. They're having a great time. I know people. I've been out in the spirit. I know that it's a real world. So no one can tell me that it's not true. And I know there's demons. I've encountered demons and cast them out and saw them, heard them speak and different things, you know. So I know there's another world. I know there's they're trying to control people. When people tell me about, last week, I did a funeral of a young man. He's 18 years old, took his own life. And I didn't know anything about that young man. And I thought about, this guy had to have demonic. Who, an 18-year-old kid wouldn't just go around doing something like that. There's a whole plan ahead for this person. How could you how could you be so hopeless that you can't see? Now, of course, this young man, I talked to his mom and asked, you know, I can see there's been problems, but hey, I've had those problems too. Thank God for keeping me. The month before, my cousin, a cousin of mine, daughter, she committed, at least she overdosed on drugs. She's working, she's a nurse working in the hospital. At least working for the medical. And she had access, I guess, you know, when you're in that, you might have access more. And overdose on it. But about a few weeks later, this girl who passed away, OD'd, her son passed away, took his own life. Now, this is another one. I'm saying this because I'm talking about, because I see things, because I want to let people know that there are forces, because I know I've encountered them personally. That demonic forces are there. They're trying to kill people. They'll tell people when their weakest moment, they say, you should kill yourself. Nobody loves you. You don't have a future. You're awful. And so when you're so low, it's hard to fight back. Especially if you have no perspective. You don't have the word of God on you. You can't fight back. And that's why intercession, that's where it comes into play, where you can pray. Why didn't someone in the Israelite people who were in captivity, why didn't they pray? Because they were in captivity. It's hard for someone. They were people of God in captivity. Why didn't God just use one of those guys? Why did God use Daniel? So Daniel prayed. God needs us to pray for, you know, for a lot of areas, particularly for different things in our lives. You know, disaster doesn't look like disaster a lot of times until sometimes maybe it's too late. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit. That's why it says praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The devil is not playing games. He wants to steal. He wants to steal your joy. And if something happens in your life, it could steal your joy for many years. We don't want to suffer. So, he said, I couldn't tell whether it was out of the body. I cannot tell. God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven. That's where God is. There's another heaven below it. And there's another heaven below that. That's where Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Not the heaven where he's at, but the heaven where the demonic forces are trying to... See in Ezekiel, you saw that, where the angel there, those angelic forces were there, were stopping the messenger from coming and stopping, whatever answers God had for that certain situation at that time. Paul here is talking about his visit to heaven, of course. Some theologians say that this happened when Paul died, when he was stoned to death by the Jews who were trying to kill him in the book of Acts. God raised him up. Then it says over here, over in the Acts 14, 19 to 20, and then theologians argued about this, I guess, but nevertheless, Paul did go to heaven, whether or not there was this situation here. Then the Jews arrived from the Antioch, from an Iconium, and won the cross to their side. They stoned Paul. How many people, if a whole pile of people grab stones and stone you, you're not going to live. You don't just throw something soft. Let's just throw something soft at them. No, they're meant to kill Paul. Let's try it out. Grab some stones and let's hurl at a few people. No, it says right here, it said they stoned Paul, dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. And some theologians said he was dead. Verse 20, as the believers gathered around him, what do you think there was some, what was happening? Why would you gather around someone and just look at them? Like a bunch of gazelles? Looking at a little calf? No, they're praying. They gathered around him and got up, and he got up and went back into the town. No one's going to get up from being beaten with stones and say, okay, guys, how's my hair? Let's go back. I'm ready to go back again. Do I have any bruises? Bible says that this man went up to heaven. I'm sure God did some healing there with him. So we can see here in this situation, the devil is behind these different things. But we have weapons to deal with these evil spirits, according to what Paul said over here in 2 Corinthians 10:10-4. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, specifically, strongholds that enter people's minds is put there by the devil, like thinking it's just the religious thinking that is not scriptural, but also there are strongholds that the devil does build that prevent people from moving on to the things of God. And so we have weapons to pull down strongholds. It says in here, the scripture, it says weapons of our warfare, not God's warfare, ours. So we are to pull down these strongholds. We are, the church, individuals and families, members of families. He provides us the weapons. God's not going to come and pull down strongholds unless you do, because God doesn't have the authority just to come in your life and do whatever he wants. He's given one of us free will. We have access, God has access to your life only to the degree that you allow him to come in your life. Otherwise, he'd come and make everybody go to church every morning. He'd make you read your Bible every day. I don't want to read my Bible. I'm reading my Bible. And so God doesn't force anybody. The scripture shows us pretty clear. God provides his weapons. When Daniel set his face to seek God or interceded, he did it. He decided to do that. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him, the Bible says. As we mentioned, at that time there was a prince during that time, and God used Daniel there to help him. He said, I am come for thy words, Daniel 10 and 12. He said, I've come for your words. Your words were heard, and I've come to your words. He said, don't be afraid, Daniel, on the first day. So God doesn't want us to be afraid of these spirits, because Jesus already dealt with them, and he's given us authority. They can't hurt you. We read in there, Ephesians, we wrestle against flesh and blood. And that's where people stop and they get scared. And they don't want to go any further, because somehow, I remember when I was up in one of the reserves over here, when I worked in Kenora, I had a guy, because I was working for the Children's Aid, and I'm a native fellow, of course, did you know that? And I went to the reserve taking kids out. So I'm fighting with the band council and the band and the chief. But I'm employed with the Children's Aid. I'm on the good side. Okay. But anyway, that's what my job was. My first job when I graduated from college was working with Children's Aid. Because I trained as a social worker. And every day I quit. I said, I ain't coming back to this job. I hate this job. I've seen too many kids hurt and abuse, and I was involved in the sexual or physical abuse of kids, and I saw that, and I every day told my boss, I'm not coming back here. Here's the keys to the van. That's it for me. He says, Roma, take a day off, a couple of days, come back and talk to me. And kept me that way for 2 years until I finally said, I'm out of here. And I had to fight to do my job. Every day I had to fight with, how would you like to go to work every day and fight with people every day to stay on a job? And I'm the bad guy because I'm taking kids out. And they told me, what I was working for, if you don't take your kids out, if they die, you have to go to court and you go to jail. What kind of job is that? it wasn't pleasant. Now I lost my point. But the thing is, people are looking for answers to situations in their lives. And so God has given us this authority. God has given us, this prayer language to help us with the evil forces. Let's read. I got 2 minutes left. And Romans 8, 26 to 29 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings." The Spirit helps us make intercession with groanings. Spirit, intercession, groaning. What cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We don't know how to pray like we should. But the Holy Ghost knows how to pray. And he lives inside you. And I'm cutting this down because I see, people are ready to jump out. You have to understand, you can ask the help of the Spirit to pray. Pray in the Spirit. Because he brings the will of God to your life and the life of those that you're praying for. He helps us in our weaknesses. Romans 8:26-27, New Living says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what to pray, what God wants us to pray, what he wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings. That word groanings, it doesn't mean like, you're groaning, it's a kind of a language from the Spirit that you and I cannot say on our own, that cannot be expressed in words. There's no words when you're praying in this language. It's not your language. It comes from God. The Father knows all hearts and knows this, what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. So we know what to pray for. We all know what to pray for. Every one of us, we know what we need to pray for in our families. We can see the need. We can pray for them. But specifically speaking, you don't necessarily know how to pray about it. You see the need, and you can pray. You want to pray for it. But there's something, even a deeper, intimate level that the Spirit of God can pray. And how many people know that God needs someone on earth to ask him for his will? Because he has access to this world through prayer. Because he just can't move here. It's not his place right now. One day it will be back to, God will come back and take over here. And that's why he cannot do anything he wants to do. And so we pray in this way. We pray in this manner. We pray intercession. And so he says here that we don't know what to pray for as people of God, but we can pray specifically according to as the Spirit of God helps us. For instance, we know that we should pray for leadership according to the scripture we saw, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. We know that the Bible says to pray for the leadership of our nation, as revealed in these scriptures. But we don't know specifics of what the Spirit asks us to pray about. Then we say, God, give our leadership wisdom and help them and strengthen them. Help them to be healthy and all that stuff. And that's how we can pray with our minds. But we don't know. There's other deeper things that need God's will in there, and that's where the Spirit of God helps you. That you have to have faith that he's going to do it. That's why you have to do this in faith, because you believe that Holy Spirit is going to use your spirit. For instance, it says here we pray two ways, mental praying and number two, spirit praying. The Bible says the Holy Spirit helps us to pray according to God's will by using tongues, by faith. He uses our spirits to accomplish his will, with that intercessor living on the inside of you. Notice what Paul says over here in this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So praying in tongues is not your mentality, your mind praying. It's your spirit praying. But my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand. You're not participating in that conversation. It's God talking to God. God's Holy Spirit talking to God the Father. Praying for you on your behalf because you're too dumb to know what to pray about. I'm just saying that because, we are. That's who we are. We don't know everything. We like to think, I know everything. I can pray. I don't need the Holy Spirit. No, you need help. So here, Amplified says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, that's unknown to us, but known to God, my spirit, my born-again spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. So the Holy Spirit is sent here to pray God's exact will for us on earth by praying in this manner. Praying in tongues is so powerful that the devil hates it. He opposes it. He uses all kinds of things. For instance, I'm going to tell you, when I was in college, I met a pastor who was teaching at the college. He's a doctor of, I can't remember what kind of doctor's degree he had. I think he was in counseling. And I had him for a family marriage in my, he taught us family and marriage, and he taught counseling to us. But he's a Christian man, pastor of a church in our city, a prominent evangelical church. And so I got one day, a friend of mine invited me and went over to the other side of the tracks and got gloriously encountered by the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and just cried at the altar, went into the spiritual realm and had encounters with the Spirit, with God. And came back. And it's like I said, like the world disappeared. And when I went out to the Spirit, this whole world just completely disappeared. And I was in the very presence of God. And so I had that experience. And after I had that experience, the very next day, I'm driving to Kenora, and the devil told me, you never had that experience. You never spoke in tongues. I'm driving my car. I said, yeah, I probably didn't. I didn't have that experience. But I did. When Jesus had an experience, an encounter with the Holy Spirit on Jordan, the next day the devil comes to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, Jesus is going to say, hey, devil, didn't you see I had the Holy Ghost over there on the River Jordan? Peter, on the housetop when he had encountered, when he saw the vision and everything, God told him, listen, there's three men at your door right now. Go with them and don't doubt anything. Because he knows when you have a spiritual experience, you could lose it too. It doesn't matter if you have whatever experience that you've had, you could lose it. Because anything, you could lose your keychain, you could lose your keys, and you could lose things like speaking in tongues. You could lose that too. And not ever use it again. And so in this situation, the devil said, you didn't have that experience. So I went to talk to this guy. I said, you know what? I encountered the Holy Spirit and I spoke with tongues. He said, it can't be, he tells me. I mean, this is a grown man, a pastor in many years, telling me, a young man in my 20s, he says, you cannot have the Holy Ghost. You cannot speak in tongues. That's not for us today. And he showed me 1 Corinthians 12, and the latter section of verse 28, he says, not all speak with tongues. So he forgot to mention the fact that he's talking about a person who has a ministry of tongues, not individual prayer life where you receive. And I didn't understand that at that time. But I'm thank God that, it's too late to tell me. I've already got it. And I'm already praying in tongues. So God wants you to pray in the Spirit and pray the Holy Ghost. So we're going to spend the rest of the 3 hours now praying in the Holy Ghost. Skip lunch. Cancel your meetings. I thought, oh, praise God. Let's go ahead and get the will of God done. Let's go ahead and stand up. I'm going to dismiss you right this second. Not a second to spare. Glory to God. Was that helpful? Or did I say, I know, you can't teach me anything. I already know that. Praise God. It's good to be reminded. It's good to be reminded. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to thank you this day for your Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to thank you that everybody here will have the Holy Spirit They'll pray in tongues. They'll speak with tongues. They'll pray the will of God in their family, in their homes, for their children, for their businesses, for the plans that you have for their future. We thank you for the Spirit praying that is so powerful. It'll change things. It'll change nations. It'll change political parties. It'll change the direction of different things by the Holy Spirit. And these spirits that are there that are causing havoc, we're going to say, you need to come down. You need to come off there in the name of Jesus. We're going to speak to those spirits. We say, you need to get out of there right now. Get out of that house. Get out of that person's life. Stop causing confusion. Stop causing dissension. Stop depression and anguish and anxiety. Father, we thank you. We just give our lives to you today. We submit our lives, our will, the plan that you have for our lives. And whatever you have in store for us, we're going to go for it. And we promise that we'll pray in the Spirit. We'll promise to know. If we don't know, we're going to pray in the Spirit. We're going to learn. We're going to find out how to make changes in our city. We know that all these things that are happening in the city, across the nation, it's not your plan that we have violence, but it's your plan that we find out the truth about different things. Truth is truth, and we pray that the truth is revealed and that we'll use it rightly. And I know that we can abuse gifts and we can abuse different things, but we thank you, Lord, that we pray that we can use the operation of the things of God, the truth, in the right manner. We thank you for it. If anybody here right now that needs to invite Jesus into life, you just say, Father, I've been away from God. I want to ask you to come in my life. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me that I've been wrong. That's all you have to do. And the Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you're back in fellowship with him. If you've never been born again, you can ask Jesus to come in your life and get born again, have a brand new spirit. You said, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe there's no other Savior besides you. You're the only God, the true God. You're God manifested in the flesh. Jesus, you're God manifested in the flesh. Your Holy Spirit is here. So I yield my whole spirit, soul, and body that I know that I'm a sinner. Without you, I cannot enter heaven. And so I thank you for forgiving me. I put my faith in you. I put my belief in you. You're the Savior. And I need help. I need a Savior. Come into my life. Wash me. Cleanse me. I believe in you. I believe in you. I confess you as my Lord, my Savior. If you've done that, you're born again. Let's pray for every single family right here. Father, we agree together as a faith family. We pray for every individual family of this family right now, of lost ones, families who's not walking with God. We command those spirits that are encouraging them to walk away from God, to stay away from church, to stay away from the Bible, to stay away from prayer, to stay away from the things of God, who gave them a decision. You said in your word, Father, that you would give each person the will to do your good pleasure. And so I pray in the name of Jesus, we bind every devil that's come against assaulting the families of God at this church and those listening. In the name of Jesus, we come against you. We agree together. There's more than two people here, but the Bible says, if two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask for, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. So, Father, we command every demonic stronghold. We break its power on our households, our families, our children, our teenagers, our young adults, in the name of Jesus, our aunts and uncles and grandfathers and so on. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of the devil over them. In the name of Jesus, we command you to leave at once, right now, right now. And we loose the angels of God, surround them and bring them to a place where they can hear more of the gospel, to bring them back home. You said that we have a great future together. And so we thank you that daddy's coming home, mommy's coming home, son and daughter's coming home. They're all coming home, just like the Bible says in Jeremiah. Verse 31, chapter 31. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it in advance for all this. And we give you glory. Let's give him praise and give him glory. Father, we thank you for answered prayer right now in the name of Jesus. And so we're expecting changes. Hallelujah. We're expecting changes Good things are happening right now in the name of Jesus.